Appreciate
love
it.
You,
pray
my
for
brother.
Us.
Bless you.
It has been one more wonderful weekend. To be in the house of the Lord and to be with His children and hear their voices praise and honor and glory the great God of whom we believe in. I do ask the interest in your prayers for just a few minutes. I told Brother Gary it might be preached out. He says, well, when you get done, we'll just close out and go home. So whether it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, a lot of times I kid and say, well, I'll have you out of here by 10 o'clock. So. But I doubt if I stand that long. It's always good to put a little humor in to start with. But I want to be serious. Amen. I believe that this is a serious matter. When it comes to preaching the gospel and believing the gospel and worshiping the Lord, it's not something to laugh at. It's something to be serious. Thought came upon my mind a few months ago, and I preached on it a little bit, but it's come back to me tonight. And I thought about you sisters. And you young children, you ladies especially, I bet you've got a closet full of clothes. I bet you go to that closet every morning when you get up and you'll try on this. Well, this don't look good. And you'll throw it on the bed. You'll pick up another one. Well, it makes my neck look long. I don't like that. Throw it on the bed. Well, this makes me look fat. I'll just throw it on the bed. What are you looking for? You're looking for a garment that's outstanding.
Yep.
You're looking for a garment that makes you look good. And you wives, you do it so your husbands will be proud of you. Well, you know, we are the bride of Christ. We have a husband who's Jesus Christ. We want to look good for Him, don't we?
Amen.
What kind of garment are we putting on as the children of God? Isaiah 52 says, awake, awake, O Jerusalem.
Yes.
He says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment. I love to think for a few moments on the beautiful garments that the church of the living God has. What I consider a beautiful garment is when God's people come together in one mind and one accord, and it's all to praise man?
No.
No. To praise God.
Amen.
We have the garment of praise upon us. Do not we want to shine before our Lord, as old saying goes? Well, we're supposed to shine. We are the light of the Son of God. We're to let our light shine that others might see and know our good works. But we can't do that unless we have the beautiful garment on us. That beautiful garment means that we need to toe the mark and walk the line, as old saying goes. We need to do that which is pleasing unto the Heavenly Father. We need to walk in the newness of life. We need to carry that candlestick high. We need to praise and honor Him. And we need to love one another according to the Scriptures. And I think if you do that, you've done well. And keep the commandments of the Lord. We need to wear that beautiful garment. You know, I believe it's the Proverbs, old Solomon said, he brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. That banner is just like the clothing. We've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let us put it on.
Amen.
Let us lay aside all of the things of the world and put on the garment of Christ. Colossians 3rd chapter tells us, if you then be risen in Christ,
right,
seek those things above, set your affections on the things above.
Amen.
If we do that, children of God, then we're going to be an apple of God's eye like David was. We're going to honor Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to love Him. If we'll do that which is honoring unto Him. But you know, I find a lot of times God's people don't honor the Lord. Sad to say. Because we follow after the lust of the flesh. And we know that when we show our flesh, we're showing what? Sin. Because all flesh is sin in the sight of God. So we need to show the garment of righteousness. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That's clothing, the armor.
Yes, it is.
We need to put on the helmet of salvation. That salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
God gives it.
Amen.
To His people. We're to put on the breastplate so we can forge ahead in the battle that lays before us. There's a race to run. And you say, well, why do I need a breastplate? I'll tell you why. Because Satan's got a bunch of fiery darts throwing at you.
Exactly.
And you need something to protect you with it.
Amen.
And if we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they'll deflect every dart Satan has.
Amen.
I'm a firm believer in that. That when Jesus is with us, all else doesn't matter. The world can fall apart, as I said today sometime. I think I said it, the world can fall apart, burn up, do whatever it wants to do. As long as Jesus is with me, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied that He's able to keep me. I'm satisfied that, and I believe that, that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day comes.
Amen.
And that committing is committing me to His service. That's what I want to do. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I've tried to be a servant. I've fallen so short of it every day, but I still keep trying. Why? Because I love the Lord. And the Lord, I hope, loves me.
Amen.
And I want to be clothed in His righteousness. I want to wear the beautiful garments. You know, I like putting on a new suit. Brother Gary likes to put on a new suit. Any of your brethren like to put on. We want to look good, don't we? Well, I want to look good before the Lord in the way of service. I don't want to be slumped down. I don't want to be slouchy in my work toward the Lord. I want to be on top of my game, as the old saying goes. I want to be number one, if I can, to be able to bring to God's people the message of sovereign grace from heaven above. I want to be able to bring the good news from a far country. He says, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more unto thee the uncircumcision and the unclean. You know, back in the Old Testament, well, even in the New Testament, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, you know that He went into the temple. And he began to cast out the money changers.
Yes, he did.
And the dove changers. They had polluted His house.
Exactly.
They had brought in everything to pollute it. You know, that's not a beautiful garment, is it?
No, sir.
And then we can do the same thing, and I see it all around us. I'm not going to call names. It's not good to call names. But there's other organizations in the world that's putting on the worldly garments, putting on the things that would cause young people and old people alike to be led toward the things of the world, and they think that's the right thing to do. That's not putting on a beautiful garment to the praise of God, because behind all of it is money and the honor and glory of man.
Yeah.
You can lay that to the book. That's the root of it right there, Brother Gary says. But we, as the family of God, the chosen generation, the little flock, as Brother Gary put this afternoon, we have something greater than anything in the world, and that's the garment of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're clothed in His righteousness. His righteousness is far greater than any righteousness upon the face of the earth. I heard men say, well, I don't sin. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that all flesh is sin in the sight of God, and if he'll just pinch himself, he'll know his flesh. He's not a spiritual body yet. He's still in sin. The Scripture tells us that we were conceived in sin.
Sure.
born in sin, live in sin, and die in sin, and shaped in iniquity. I mean, who don't understand that? What about that part you don't know? I'll tell you, children of God, we have the greatest, and that's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, one that was sin-free, having no sin, came from the portals of glory,
yes.
Took upon Him our iniquities,
yes.
Our sins,
right.
Went to the cross and
Amen.
Suffered and died in our stead.
Yes, He did.
I'll tell you, when He shed the precious blood on the cross, and He didn't spill it either.
No, sir.
It was shed, and every drop of it covered our sins.
Amen.
And our sins was great, wasn't it? They covered the world. I think about our sins like Sherwin Williams. That paint just covered the world. They covered the world. They covered me. Covered you, but the Lord Jesus Christ's blood has washed us whiter than snow.
Amen.
He didn't whitewash it either. He took away the sins.
Yeah.
He didn't just cover them up. He took them away and hid them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us no more.
Amen.
Brother, I tell you, is that not something to praise the Lord about?
Amen.
Is that not something to cry out unto the Lord and say, thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us? And that we've come short of daily. That's why he's telling us what Isaiah's telling them here. Isaiah saw the kingdom long before it was to come. Isaiah saw this beautiful kingdom of our Lord and how she was dressed. Over in the book of Revelation, John said he saw the third heaven, second heaven coming down. Third heaven, is it third or second? Third heaven coming down. Adorned as a bride.
Not the third.
Second, the third heaven's yet to come.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll get it right, Brother Gary.
We don't mess it up.
That's right. And if we mess it up, it's our fault.
Amen.
It ain't God's.
Amen.
But that third heaven, or that second heaven coming down, I get it right too. Second heaven come down adorned as a bride. Now, you married men, and I've been married, and I celebrated 50 years, me and my wife did last month, of being married. But I can still remember that beautiful bride coming down the aisle. How did she look to you? How does this bride look to the Lord today? Think about that. Part of the time, in some places, she don't look too good. But in other places, she marvels at the beauty of her because of the garment she's wearing. If she's wearing the things that the Lord's give her, they're beautiful. Bible says that all good things, perfect things, come from the Father above.
Amen.
If God gives us the garment of praise and
That's
the
good,
garment of righteousness, then we, as children of God, have an obligation.
Absolutely.
A duty, what you might say. Paul told Timothy, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable
duty. He's not called upon you to do something you can't do. And don't throw up your hands, oh, I can't do this. You don't know till you try. Put forth 110%. You'd put 110% watching a football game, wouldn't you? What I tell them at home, they stay at home from church to watch a football game. They put all their effort in that. They'll pop corn, fix sandwiches and all, sit down on the couch and be glued to that TV for 2 or 3 hours. If they'd put that much effort in serving God, their lives would be much richer, much better. Because we fail in doing what we're called upon to do. Isaiah saw that. He says, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands on thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. Hey, captive daughters of Zion. We've been captivated, all right, by the things of the world. That's why he said, loosen yourself from these things. As he says, Timothy says over in one place, he says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and run the race that's set before us. We were held captive by Satan. We've been held captive by the things of the world. But it's time to stand up and loose the things away from us that we're able to put forth that effort to serve our God. And if we do that, children of God, I believe, according to the Scriptures, we'll eat the good of the land. That's what it says, that we're going to eat the good of the land. He says, "For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money." Well, the world don't want to hear that. They think you've got to get up a bunch of money and send people overseas, some foreign countries, and go and tell them about the Lord and give them the chance to accept the Lord. And if they don't accept the Lord, they're going to die and go to hell. Well, you know what? They'd be better off to stay here and let the Lord save them. Wouldn't they? You agree with me? I think that's the way it ought to be. Because it's already in the hands of the Lord. I believe in the saving of the soul, but it's not for eternal purposes. It's for the saving here. But men had rather think they got a part in salvation when they don't have. I'll tell you, I look at it this way. I'm the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. But the world teaches it the other way around. That you're the Savior. And Jesus can't save you unless you let Him. You know, what irks me sometimes is hear these evangelists on television pray to God and say, "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you do that, I'll do that." You don't let God do anything. God lets us do it.
Amen.
And when He's clothed us with His righteousness, then we too ought to be willing and able to serve Him. And to give up some things of this world. You know, I never really considered it. I was happy being just an old Baptist sitting in the pews on Sunday morning. Just tickled pink to be there. So the Lord, I felt like, called me to preach the gospel. I didn't give it a second thought of what it consists of. I bet Brother Gary didn't think of what be when he's called to preach. What kind of hardships we go through. What kind of trials and tribulations. And not everybody's going to like you either. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Not everybody's going to like your type of preaching. But that shouldn't discourage us. Not everybody likes what you do either, do they? Think about that. But does that stop you from going on and doing? You need to go on and serve the Lord. Happy are ye if you do these things, the Bible says. I didn't know what happiness was until I began to serve the Lord. And then I felt that inward feeling like a satisfaction of serving the Lord. And that's why I want to present my body. And I don't want it to be it marred with some of the clusters things of the world. I want it to be clean. You know, when they brought the sacrifices to the old offering tables back in the Old Testament, they didn't bring them dirty and filthy. They brought them clean, didn't they? When I come to the table to be sacrificed, and that's when I'm sacrificed, when I'm standing before the Lord's people. You're to judge me. You know, I never thought about that I'm going to have to stand before the Lord's people, and they're going to judge me. But you do judge me. You set in judgment of me. You judge how the Lord has blessed me or how He's not blessed me. Many times before I get up to preach, I have no idea whether the Lord's going to bless or not. But I hope that He's given me sense enough to know that if I'm not blessed to preach it, I got sense enough to sit down. I probably should have been sitting down already. But thanks be unto God, He gave me that option within to want to preach the everlasting gospel of the Son of God and declare unto Him the treasures that God's people have and the garments they wear, you know. I tell you, there's a different garment you wear for different occasions, ain't there? You wouldn't put on a nice, pretty dress, you sisters, and go out in the garden and work, would you? You put on work clothes. Well, I want to tell you, when you come to the church, you better come prepared to work. Because the Bible says you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and don't be a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. You need to come prepared to worship God. You don't need to come prepared. And I used this many years ago when I first started preaching, a lot of people just come to church to show off their new suit, their new dress, their new shoes, pocketbook. That's no reason to come to the house of the Lord. You must come willing and obedient, coming desiring and thirsting and hungering after righteousness that you might be fed. I've come to the doors of the church just hungering to hear the word of God.
Amen.
And when that word is preached by one that's called of God, yes, blessed from the Spirit on high, and the words begin to flow from his mouth, and the joy and the peace begins to go flow from breast to breast, and you just felt like you just been lifted up. Brother, I'll tell you what a great joy that is, to be in the house of the living God when all of these things are taking place, and it makes you want to stay indoors, don't it? It want to make you stay in the church. Why? Because that's the beautiful garment of the bride of Christ, is that praise and honor, and that flowing from breast to breast. Oh, what joy it is. I've got to move along here. Excuse my fumblingness, but my old hands and arms and legs don't work good. There's one not older than the other. They all old. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away from naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name is continually every day in blasphemy. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doeth speaketh, behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings good tidings."
Amen.
What I said, I couldn't wait to hear that old minister cry out on the watch walls of Zion.
Yeah.
I want him to hear that. I want that truth to be told. And I want to see it with power and demonstration. I don't want to see some little mealy mouth get up and do. I want to hear the gospel preached. I want to hear it with power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. You want to feel it, don't you? I do. I want to feel it down deep where it matters. Not up here where it goes through one ear and out the other. I want it to stick in the heart. How beautiful are the feet of them that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, children of God. There's a lot of people think our God's dead.
Yes, sir.
And that he don't know what he's doing.
Oh, no, sir.
He's up there all alone and you just don't know where to go. There's a lot of people believe that. I want to tell you an instance back many, many years ago. I'll tell you when it was, when John F. Kennedy was killed. Good dear friend of ours, he's dead and gone now, run a lumber plant down below us. And we were in the woods sawmilling and hauling lumber to him. Took a load of lumber in, and he cornered my dad there on the lumber yard. And he says, "What are we going to do? Our president's been killed. What are we going to do?" My daddy was a deacon in the old Baptist church, and he just simply said, "Have no fear. God is still on the throne."
Yes.
Have faith in the Lord.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord, because all will be well. And that satisfied that man. That's good words to live by. God is still reigneth.
Amen.
He's still on the throne. He's still pouring out spirits upon his children. He's still feeding his children. He's still blessing them with the waters of life. He's given them all that they stand in need of, not all you want, because we want too much of the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But God gives us what we need. He knows our needs, but even before we ask. Anybody that can tell you how many hairs on the top of your head, very smart, isn't it? That's God. He knows the intent of your heart before you even think it. He's always present and nowhere absent. Always, even while you're asleep, He's there watching over you. I'll tell you, is that not the reason to come to His house? Is that not reason to come and offer yourselves to praise and honor and glory Him? Brother Gary started off this afternoon about fear not, little flock. I tell you, children of God, I wouldn't know how to preach against a big crowd, would you? I like the little flocks. Little flocks give God's praise. I don't see that in these great big auditoriums with 25, 30,000 people. I don't see a whole lot of praise going on there. That's my opinion. My opinion, the Lord said, two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. I love to be amongst the little flock. I love to see them be dressed in the righteousness of God. You didn't bring no righteousness in tonight, did you? I hope if you had any, you left it out there and on the outside.
Right.
Because our righteousness in here means nothing.
Amen.
It's but as filthy rags.
That's right.
So we come to see the righteousness, to hear the righteousness, to understand the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Thou watchman shall lift up thy voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion."
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus told Peter over there, He says, "On this rock I'll build my church." And when we come together, isn't it good when brethren can see eye to eye,
amen,
and agree on things, the same things? That's what amazed me years ago when I came to the old Baptist. You could come to Virginia, you could go to Florida, get with brethren. You know, they believe the same thing you believe. They see eye to eye. Isn't that strange? No, it's not strange. We have the same Father. We have the same Lord. We have the same Savior. And He's able to teach all of His children the truth. And when we have the truth, children of God, is anything any better? There's nothing better in this world than the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that truth is this, and it's very simple, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners.
Amen.
He came into this world to save you and I, if we're a child of God. "He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, though yet he were dead, yet shall he live."
Amen.
"And he that liveth will reign with the Lord one glorious day." I believe that Jesus Christ, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Brethren, that's money in the bank, ain't it? That's a contract signed between the Father and the Son that'll never be broken.
No.
And no matter what it is in this world, God's not going to break that covenant. No, He's not going to break that covenant that He made with the Son. We find in Romans 8th chapter or 9th chapter that there's nothing that can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm glad of that, because I feel like sometimes that my sins have put me away from Christ. But we were reconciled to Him by the precious blood of the Lamb. Therefore, children of God, put on the garment that will be to the praise and the honor and the glory of Him.
Amen.
And you'll shine like a light in a dark place.
Amen.
And your light shining, Jesus will see it and come to it.
Amen.
And when He comes, He brings good tidings. He brings the joy and the peace of serving the true and living God. We don't serve a dead God. Our God is alive and well forevermore. World without end. He's there. Let us praise Him and glorify Him while we have time here on earth, because our time is limited. The Scripture tells us we are like the grass of the field and the flower of the grass. We're here today and gone tomorrow. It just seems like just the other day that I was 16 and I thought, well, life's beginning and here I am going on 69. And that was just the day before yesterday. So we don't have but a little span here on earth. But let us use it wisely. You know, a wise man uses his time wisely. Let us use it
right,
to his honor and his praise. I trust that I've said something that might stir up your pure mind in the way of remembrance, that you might put forth that effort. You need to put one foot in front of the other. You can't stand still. You got to press on. You got to go forward, that you might receive the crown of righteousness right here. All people say, I'm looking for a crown in glory. I'll tell you, the crown they're going to get is what Jesus is, the crown on His head. The crown we're going to get is right here for our labors here. And the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. Sow in kindness and love and you shall reap of it. You sow in bitterness and strife and envy, you're going to receive that also. So instead of putting on not a worldly garment, put on the garment of praise and to the honor of Him. May God bless you is our prayer.
Amen.
Brother Gary preached to us for a while.
Brother, that was good.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Appreciate that so much.
I don't intend to take any time, but I do want to read one passage.
It came to mind as the brother was preaching, and I just enjoyed this so very, very much. Just want to read the 93rd Psalm. It's only five verses, and it's just filled with just exactly what was found in Isaiah, speaking of the power and the sovereignty of the Lord. Rather than us and our clothing, it speaks of the Lord and His clothing.
Yes.
And the Lord reigneth, it says in Psalm 93, it says, the Lord reigneth, He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. And I love to think about God and all the glory of God, that He is the source of His glory. If we have anything to put on, He's the source of that.
That's
He's
right.
The one who gives it to us. But God, in all His majesty and all His glory, girds Himself. He's the power source. And it says, the world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. And throughout the scripture you'll see the floods speaking of the troubles, the problems.
Yeah.
God's little children, we've talked about them. I often say sometimes when we have prayer requests at the beginning of the meeting, almost can get depressed when you hear about this and that and all the things that are going on. Remember this. The floods as we live in this world are going to lift up their voice. Mm-hmm. And those floods are going to sure, we're not going to escape that. The psalmist says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And then the answer, he says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters.
That's right.
Isn't it wonderful to know the greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world? Mm-hmm. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea, than all your troubles. And we're not talking about a God who's going to run out of strength. We're not talking about a God who's going to run out of majesty, because He girds Himself. You and I are dependent upon Him, but oh, what a God we have to depend upon. And then verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure. That means what we've heard tonight, what's been preached, you can count on. If it's from the Word of God, I believe it was, you can build your life on it. Thy testimonies are not just sure, they're very sure. And then it says, holiness becometh thine house. And God's children walk in the way that the Lord has laid out in His word. They're clothed with that garment of praise. They're clothed with His righteousness, not ours, His. And He's the source of all of it. It says, "Becometh thine house, O Lord," and how long? Forever.
That's right.
It won't ever change. We got a God who changes not. Right. And I've enjoyed tonight. I've enjoyed this weekend. It's just been wonderful having Brother Gene, Sister Gene. There's Gene and Gene. And it's wonderful to have both of them here with us. And I'm thankful to have each of you. We're going to sing a hymn, publish the open door of the church. There'll be one or more here who have a desire to unite, follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever your case may be, you can let your feelings be made known. If you love the Lord, to those who love the Lord, the commandment comes. Those who are pricked in their heart, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That isn't how you get the Holy Ghost, but it's the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's also an answer of a good conscience towards God. It's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but if you love the Lord, it won't make you a child of God, but it sure make you happy.
Yeah, it does.
And if there will be one or more feeling led in that way, you let your feelings be made known. And somebody have a hymn. 98 in the little books. Amen. Number 98 in the little book. We'll stand. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls.
Thank you, dear brother, for coming. The Lord is good to us.
Oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me, and